Sisters and brothers, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. Today we gather with those disciples and onlookers of Jesus who celebrate his entry into Jerusalem, crying out, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And then with his disciples, we stay and see what follows. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples ahead of them.
"Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a coat that has never been written. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back there immediately."
They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and the others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna!
Thank you.
Why don't you all just come sit down right here? Don't go. Oh, don't leave me alone. No, don't go away. Don't go. Winston's going to leave me. Oh, but come in a circle so we can see each other. What's with sitting on the steps all the time? So I have a question. We just sang this big, huge song, and we just said this funny word. Hosanna. What does that mean? Does anybody know? What do you think, Aiden? It's a name. Maybe it's a name. It's almost a name because it's something that we say to God. So it's almost like something that we're not necessarily naming God, but saying about God. What do you think? Save us. That's exactly what it means. Hosanna means help. Save us. But we don't usually say Hosanna anymore. Usually we say help. Unless you're really little. So let's say you're age, and you, or maybe even Dax's age, and something awful happens, like something really scary, or maybe something really hurts, like even you fall down and you skin your knee. What do you say? Ow. And then what do you say? Yes, you're right. You say, Mom! You know what? That's what Hosanna means. How come you cry for your mommy? Why would you do that? She will comfort you. She's the one. And you don't say, Oh, next door neighbor! You say, Mommy! You don't even say, My very best friend! You definitely don't say, My brother! Right? No, you say, Mommy! And when we say Hosanna, it's the same thing. We're crying out to God to save us because we're hurt or we're worried, and we don't care about all those other people. We want the one person who could really comfort us. So Hosanna is the way of saying, Mommy, we really need you. You're the one we really need. And the reason it turned into not just, oh, help, but a word of praise was because, in fact, God did always help. We know that God is the one. So we're so used to saying that, that instead of going, Mommy, it kind of turned into, Mommy, it's you. So you know what I think? I think we should say a prayer. Only maybe what we should do instead of the usual kind of prayer. Let's pray, Mommy, we really need you. Should we pray that? Let's do it. But let's get all these people to pray that. And we can wave our palms if we want. Come on, I go. You can grab me. You can grab my elbow. So let's pray. Mommy, we really need you. Mommy, we really need you. Amen. Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of the day. We praise you and thank you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we may ever hail him as ruler of our lives and share in his obedience to your will in joy and confidence. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Peace on earth and glory in the highest. Grant us your salvation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join in Psalm 118, page 839 in the blue hymnal. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteousness shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, who has given us light. Lead the festal procession with branches up the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
Days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread, the chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who spoke in anger, and they scolded her.
"Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for nearly a year's wages and the money given to the poor."
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, that she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
She has done what she could. And whenever this story is told, what she has done will be included. This is this moment now when Jesus comes in on his donkey and we're waving palms and we want that kingdom of God that he's been talking about. And 2,000 years later, we still want it. We want that kingdom. And we're pretty sure that Jesus is going to make it happen. And we watch this story unfold. Jesus is performing what is essentially street theater, coming into Jerusalem on this donkey, people waving palms, acknowledging that he is some kind of king. And now he's going to be a kind of king that we did not see coming. He knows this is going to get him killed. He knows that he's being anointed for his death. He sees that coming. He knows he's got a week to live. How's he going to establish this kingdom in 1 week? What's he going to do? What superpower is he going to pull out? What political agenda is he going to get rolling? What strategic plan is he going to initiate? None of it. He's going to love people and forgive them. And that's all. He's going to do exactly what he said she did. He's going to do what he can. And in his case, he'll share a meal. He'll heal some people. He'll talk with his friends. He'll wash their feet. And he'll forgive them. And they will betray him. Watch him do this. He knows they're going to betray him. He knows they'll deny him. And he invites them to his last dinner because he loves them. and he seats in the place of honor Judas. Because he loves him. He knows what Judas is going to do. He's got 1 week. What can he do? He can love Judas. That's what he can do. He can love his disciples. He can love all those people who are waving palms, and 6 days later they're going to be throwing things at him. They're going to be shouting to crucify him. He can love them. And all the rest, he just trusts to God. If there's going to be a kingdom, it will have to start with this love. If there's going to be a strategic plan, it will have to start with this forgiveness. And when we're standing here with our palms saying, well, now, Jesus, you need to bring in the big guns, Jesus just quietly smiles and says, I already have. This is as big as it gets. And if you don't believe that love and forgiveness changes the world, watch. Watch. Do what you can. Do it with love. And trust God. Watch.
It was the first day of unleavened bread when the Passover lamb was sacrificed. Jesus' disciples came to him.
Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is my guest room? Where I may eat the Passover with my disciples. He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.
When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus spoke to them.
Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me.
During the supper, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, this is my body. And then he took a cup and having given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will not again drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new in the kingdom of God. God of grace, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that they might be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that as we receive the body of Christ, we might once again become the body of Christ, crucified and risen in love for the world, opening ourselves to your grace. We pray as Jesus taught us, asking you always to teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In this brokenness is the greatest power in the world. This love poured out from the sovereign of all creation so that we might be made new, so that we too might be servants of love. This is the feast of the presence of God. Come. For the table is ready. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you, guide you, and strengthen you, now to eternal life. Amen.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
On those dreadful shepherds, and the sheep will be scattered. But off on him will rip off, I will go before you to heaven.
Even though all become discouraged, I will not.
Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times.
Even though I will not deny you.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners."
Spirit of God, let us pray.
Just an update on my father. Many of you know that I've been asking for prayers for him for several months. Last week he stood up. He hasn't done that in 4 months. So even though his decline is inexorable, there's no Lazarus moment awaiting us here. He is much more at peace with himself, with the world, and is in about as happy a place as one could hope for at the moment, I think. So thanks for your prayers, and let's hope that that continues to be that for as long as it is granted us. This is my prayer.
I think many of you know, I ask prayers for my friend Gary Lawton, who's having a very difficult time at Emerson Hospital, and they haven't quite figured out what's wrong with him, but he's quite weak and hanging in there. So I ask that you all pray with me. This is my prayer.
I would like prayers for my boss husband, Scott Bernier. He had open heart surgery on Wednesday and is not quite out of the woods yet. And also for my friend Sharon Mushlon, who just had on Wednesday had an aneurysm and abdomen removed, so she needs prayers also. One more, my youngest daughter, Jody, is leaving on Saturday for the Appalachian Trail. Prayers over the months ahead. This is my prayer.
This is a prayer of thanks for the imagination that Elizabeth Windsor brings to us. The Sunday school kids have just had, I think, a remarkable experience walking through Holy Week. It will be left up so that at coffee hour you can join it. But I pray with great thanks for the outlook and imagination that Elizabeth brings to us. This is my prayer.
My prayer this morning is for my wife, Vera. Please, God, grant her your compassion in her darkest hour. This is my prayer.
That Jim can be here and walk up here and make that prayer. This is my prayer. We remember those on our prayer calendar this week: Rosemary Susick, the Taylors, Andrew and Irene, Katie and Mark, Caroline Fish, Zakia Hankur, and the Abdu Absis, Nick and Susan, and Lena and David. Reverend Shah Jow and the United Methodist Church in Natick. May your will be done in their lives. This is my prayer. God, we give thanks that you hear us as we lift up the names of all those who are in our hearts. Ada. May your will be done in their lives. This is my prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the love of Christ and seeing him in this world. We pray especially for those who are in prison, who are condemned, for those who are lonely or struggling, for those who are sick or poor. Open our hearts to them, that we might always love them as deeply as we love that one. This is my prayer. God, we pray for the coming of your reign of mercy and justice according to your promise, that we see Jesus enact before us, that we may be his faithful followers. This is my prayer. Amen.
Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked.
As Jesus offers himself, we offer ourselves, our hearts and our lives, our gifts, and our tithes and our offerings in love for the world.
Thank you.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and the testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony to him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' But even on this point, their testimony did not agree." Then the high priest stood up before him and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is this that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the human one seated at the right hand of the power, and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." The guards also took him over and beat him.
Thank you. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore on oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept.
Let us join in a prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have betrayed you. We are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. By the grace of our gentle Christ, Jesus, have mercy upon us, O God. Heal us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. God of grace, we give you thanks that you receive us entirely, forgive us completely, heal our broken hearts, and set us free to live by the power of your Spirit each moment. Grant that always we might live as if we do know you. We give you our thanks and we ask your blessing. Amen.
Morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate.
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
Then the chief priests accused him of many things.
"Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you."
Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection.
"Release for us the prisoner."
"Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
"No, release for us."
"Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" Why? What evil has he done?
Crucify him.
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
All of us who have been born baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death and buried with him. Our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. So consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they let him out to crucify him.
A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, God wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, and I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. The one who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. The word of life. Thanks be to God. Please join me in the Canticle of Christ's Obedience on page 167 in the Blue Hymnal.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take.
Thank you.
It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
A lament from Psalm 31. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. But I trust in you, O God. I say, you are my God.
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And then Jesus breathed a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion, who was standing there watching, saw that he died in this way, breathing his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Jesus and Salome. These used to follow him and provided him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When the evening had come, And since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked them whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, said where the body was laid.